He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen, and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on podcast1.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday. The NCAA wrestling tournament is underway. Nick Siriano of Penn State did not enter with an ankle injury, which is really too bad. Opens up the team race. That's what I've been focused on. Joel, what have you been looking at?
Well, we've got that. We got a lot of people filling out pools to get in our bracket for the basketball challenge. And
Duke wins. I already told everybody. Are they still holding that tournament after I declared Duke champion?
They are.
Well, that's a waste of time.
And Anderson Silva is fighting Gaslam in UFC 212.
Yeah, look at that. See, when you ask for things, good things happen.
I tell you what, man, I've got a lot of respect for Anderson Silva. He'll just fight anybody.
You share that with me in the car, and I just let it go. And your inability to pay attention just knows no bounds. You said that in the car alone with me, sitting across from a guy who he ducked for 3 years. And you're like, man, that guy just steps up and fights anybody. It's like, I wish we could find somebody
for this
that
today.
He wasn't just willing to match up with. But
let's not put you in the middle of something.
But yeah, you'll just jump right into those statements.
All right, buddy. There you go. Chael. The view from the Ohio horse again is always sunny.
But it is amazing that you would just come in with such a factually inaccurate statement and then say it to me. Mm-hmm. Like, man, that Anderson, he won't duck anybody. When you're talking to a guy who he ducked, and I'm just sitting there going, yeah, man, yeah.
Do you know, just because you say things in crazy land, just because you say things, it doesn't actually make them true, bro. I know you think that, and you like to play with the universe and everything, but, man, he never ducked you. That was made up in your head, and it got you a run. But that doesn't, just because you said those things, it doesn't make them true. Just because you said Duke is going to win the championship doesn't make them true. Just because it said you swim like a bullet, it doesn't make it true. Just because you said that Chris Bryant isn't a good baseball player, now that's just crazy.
It's poor fundamentals.
All right. We're going to do fan questions today since the fans have spoken. And we'll see what Salty ChaelP has to go today. First question, who is the best analyst? This is from Rodney James Edgar. Who is the best analyst in the game besides ChaelP?
I think as an analyst, that's a different question than a commentator. I would have to go with my partner Gil on commentator. An analyst, you know who I've been super impressed by is Dominic Cruz. And he's a major chess player. He's multiple steps ahead. He said things when I've worked with him before. We're like, Dom, what are you even talking about? And then we'll go to commercial break. You know, there'll be like some time that goes by, and then I'm processing and connecting and go, oh my gosh, he's right. He was so advanced that I couldn't keep up when he said it on the spot. Dominic Cruz's view of the sport is very sophisticated.
I think that's a great answer. I think Gil's gotten tremendously better over the years, and Dominic Cruz has always been on point.
Yeah, now the question was analyst, and Gil is a very good analyst. As a commentator, Gil's top-notch. An analyst where you're breaking down some of those.
I don't know that. I can't understand you. It's like east or west. I don't know which way is east or west or north or south.
Well,
there's no way to know.
Why would you come on and say that Anderson didn't duck, man? Why would you say? Do you believe that is true?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
I mean, he ducked you the second time. He didn't duck you the first time.
Do I have to say which time it was? Would I have to point out which time it was? I made a broad statement that he ducked me to your broad statement that, man, he'll just go fight anybody. To which you denied and then brought it into swimming and took some shots and made a high horse comment.
Oh,
and
my God, I took some shots at you.
And now you're...
I took some shots at you.
And now,
I'm sitting over here every damn day, the bulletin board, for you to throw the darts at, and the Godfather took a couple shots at old ChaelP, and now the world has to come to an end.
I don't know if we got to do all that, but don't you think it's interesting that you just said it never happened, and now you're going, well, it happened once, but it didn't happen the other time? I mean, don't you find that a little bit, can't you see where I would find that confusing?
Okay. All right, what do you want to do here?
Ask your questions.
All right. Next question, do you regret anything during your time in the UFC, or was there something you wish you would have done different?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I don't know if I could identify it. I'm always get annoyed when people go, I would never do anything different. What do you mean? What kind of life is that to have no regrets? What are you talking about? Go play roulette sometime. When it comes up black, you're telling me you didn't wish you bet it was red? Come on. What do you see the future? Of course, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I don't know that I could pinpoint anything specifically in MMA. But man, lots and lots of stuff that you would have wished you would have done different. Maybe not from training. And really great coaches and really great teammates. But, yeah, there was definitely some skills or some stuff I might have dabbled in and tried to improve upon.
All right, that was from Nicholas Jose Davila. The next one is from Jay Churko, who is probably at the NCAA tournaments right now.
How do you say he's never done it? I make the statement he did, and then a minute later you come back and go, well, he did it once, but he didn't do it the other time.
I kind of feel...
You have to look over here. We interrupt each other because you're watching a baseball game. If you just turn your head this direction, one of us talk, then I close my mouth, and then you talk. Like now would be where you would talk.
Okay. So the next one's from Jay Churko. Did the Nog brothers really feed a carrot to the bus?
That happened. They tried to. They thought it was a horse.
The next one from...
Whoa, big fella.
The next one is from Kevin Cernier. When is the next book coming, and will we ever see him make a run at politics again?
The book is actually turned in. It is turned in to the publisher and will be out soon. It's called Solid Four Pack.
Solid Four Pack. What is that book about?
Diet and nutrition.
All right.
Six packs are for anorexics and drug addicts.
All right. Sean Kelly wants to know, who is the best grappler between Damian Maia, Khabib, Jacare, and Ben Askren? And can you rank them?
Ooh.
That's a good question, Sean Kelly.
It's a good question because they threw Askren in.
Mm-hmm.
It would be Maia between the other three, and Maia actually beat Jacare for a world championship 1-0. So Maia wins that. And but boy, when you throw Askren in there, I can't think of a set of rules. Let's just go by EBI. I think that's the most complete set of rules. I can't think of a rule set where Askren's not going to come out on top.
Kelly Patrick wants to know, who are the best five trash talkers in MMA history?
Well, number one for me, and it's not for everybody else, which has surprised me. Number one for me is Rampage. I thought I've always enjoyed Rampage's work. I think Connor's outstanding. He might need a little bit more time to surpass Page as the best ever. But I would say it's between one of those two. But I have always been surprised when that topic comes up. Usually I'll get asked, you know, who's better between myself and Connor? And I'll go, well, how are you leaving Rampage out of that? You know, Rampage is always fun. He's always funny. He's always charismatic. I remember when his fights would end, being in living rooms and people going shush, 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 shush in the room and turning the TV up so you could hear what he had to say. I'm going to go with Paige. But if somebody said Connor, that's fair too, man. Connor's so entertaining.
I don't even know if there is five. I mean, what's the top five? I mean, I don't even know if you could go that far.
Yeah.
Jamie Perez wants to know, what do you think?
How would you count that? You'd be like 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 5?
Something like that. Jamie Perez wants to know, what do you think of the Gastelum-Silva fight?
Five comes after four, Joel. What do I think about the Gastelum who fight?
Anderson Silva.
Well, that Anderson, man, he'll fight anybody. I think we got to just give him his due. Then maybe we'd have to look at the fact that Gastelum went to Brazil, knocked out a former champion and number one contender in the first round, called his shot, and got it. Maybe if a reasonable person would have to put this on Kelvin, but not the Godfather, man. He thinks Anderson made this fight.
See, he's
whew, that this, Anderson.
This is actually fun because what you guys get, you get a lot of swerve sometimes, but this is actually heat today, so this will be fun.
I mean, they tried to book him and John Jones and couldn't do it because he wouldn't do it. But boy, not in Joel's memory, man. Ooh, that Anderson.
Billy Morris wants
Step
to
right
know.
Up.
Billy Morris wants to know, will Chael have Boss Rutan on the show?
Yeah, I tried to have Boss on. Something happened. Boss was in and something happened. He had to travel or catch a flight somewhere, so he couldn't call in.
Don Paul Moore wants to know, Paulo Filho, it looked like he was talking to an invisible man during your second fight. Does Chael know who he was talking to?
Yeah, that was made up by Paulo. Things weren't going Paulo's way, and so he started pretending that he was so out of it that he was talking to somebody. But when we were close, when we were within arm's reach, he was focused on me. Whenever there was a big space between us is when he was laying the groundwork for his fall. That was his first loss. He was undefeated. And that was made up, but a lot of people fell for it. Yourself included, apparently.
Emmanuel Morales.
Man, Anderson would never do that. Anderson's the greatest.
Emmanuel, buddy, you're 0-2 against him. I mean, you're 0-2 against him. I mean, what?
But he's so good. He'll fight Travis Luter today.
It's like, I mean, here, I'm on your team, bro.
I don't need to throw stones at him. What I need is for you to tell history correctly. What is so amazing is before we even went on, we're sitting in the car together, and you're saying this to me, sitting next to me when you were there and part of the hustle that we had to go through to get that fight because he wouldn't do it. You were there when I had to get on an airplane and go to Brazil where they wanted to kill me to try to get this fight done and came back empty-handed. Because he wouldn't do it. You were part of it. It's like, man, I don't know why you can't remember things.
Emmanuel Morales wants to know, what's Chael's opinion on catch wrestling? Have you ever trained it? And would you consider training in it since it seems like the wrestling alternative to BJJ?
Yeah, for the most part, what I used to think is that this was just kind of a fake boutique sport. That wasn't organized and wasn't well participated in. But the two best grapplers that I've ever met between Neil Melanson and Josh Barnett are both catch wrestlers. So, you know, maybe I need to rethink that. I can tell you those. It's very vicious. It's a very vicious and violent form of grappling.
Bobby Ray O'Toole wants to know, Chael, if you could pick. I already know the answer to this question. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. If you could pick an Olympic gold medal or a UFC Bellator Pro World title, which would you choose?
Olympic gold medal. For myself, Joel would give it to Anderson.
Casey Good wants to know the Foxcatcher movie. I know a lot of the good wrestlers were involved in it. Were you close to or did you know anyone involved in that whole ordeal?
He'll fight any. I just saw him fight a welterweight. This guy's crazy. What's the question?
The Foxcatcher program. I know a lot of good wrestlers were involved in it. Were you close to, or did you know anyone involved in that whole ordeal?
Yeah, I did. I knew everybody that was involved in that, but those guys were a generation older than me. For example, I'm 39 right now, and the guys involved, let's see, it was in 1996. So those guys were about, Dave Schultz, who was killed, was 36 at the time, and I was 19, to put it in perspective. So those guys were a generation ahead. Those were guys that I, like, read about. I never worked out with them or competed with any of them. But even guys you know were there. Kurt Angle was there. He wasn't featured in the film. Mark Schultz, the brother of Dave, who was played by Channing Tatum, was my first college coach at BYU. So, yeah. And Mark Schultz has been on the show. Yeah, I knew those guys.
David Mixter wants to know, Chael, will you and Joel ever do a fight companion type show where you watch the fights and talk about them like Rogan does? I don't even know what that means.
Why would you? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I could see myself doing one, but what would Joel say?
Oh, God, I wish Anderson was in there. That guy will fight anybody.
William Melender wants to know who Chael's favorite superhero is. Hold on, I think I know who it is.
Who?
Anderson Silva.
Anderson Silva. I've never understood that when people have favorite superheroes. Superman trumps everybody. So why would you ever have a superhero that couldn't beat another superhero? Everybody in the history of the world's answer should be Superman.
Vinny Chance.
Though I will say I liked Black Spidey. You know, I like those Spider-Man series, and Black Spidey specifically was pretty cool.
Vinny Chance wants to know.
So the best movie about a superhero isn't even a close second. It's the first ever Iron Man. Not even a close second on any film ever would be first Iron Man.
Chill, people keep asking about
starring
a fight
Anderson
story
Silva.
Out of the cage. Can you tell us the story about your brawl in a casino?
Yeah, it wasn't a brawl in the casino.
Is this when the girl hit the girl punched you?
Yeah, I was standing with my now wife and my mom, and I got punched. And the guy that punched me just slowly walked out. And I was looking right at him, and I thought, I'm just going to grab him and throw him for five. I'm just going to soup him. My first reaction. You're going to punch me and turn your back to me? And instead, I followed him out because I was doing business at that casino. We were there for a show, and I was standing with the VP of marketing who had brought our event in. So I followed. I was going to let the whole thing go, and he's the one that said, no, you got to press charges. That, you know, that gal hit you. And I'm thinking, why is he saying gal? You know, that dude just hit me. And it was this box with a shaved head and then the long ponytail. So anyway, we got to the door, and I just told the security guard, I said, hey, that guy hit me. And he said, you know, he kept saying who, and there was only one person there, and they're walking away. And I'm like, him, over and over. And he kept saying that girl. Anyway, it just turned out it was a girl. I mean, the story was nothing. I got hit, and I called her a him, so I guess we're both even.
James Edward wants to know, what activities do you do or compete in to relax or wind down?
Man, if I was relaxing, I would probably just be sitting on the couch, surfing the internet, watching the news. But I don't know that I have a lot of activities, man. I'm an avid indoorsman. I cannot figure out for the life of me why you would go outside if you didn't have to. I know people that camp in the name of vacation. I wish I understood it. I couldn't imagine going from a nice place to a less nice place in the name of vacation.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I've never understood that as well. You pay money to live in a house, so you're going to go and move outside of your house. And we had Mike Perry on the show. He said that's how rich people go out and act poor.
Yeah.
They go camping.
Yeah, I don't understand. Though I wish I did. You know, like I have friends that can hike and go outside and, you know, catch fish and build shelter and do all this. I think it's an amazing skill. I don't have it, and I'm not looking to acquire it.
Brad Cisneric wants to know, Chael, you did an amazing job on the Tough 17. So did John Jones, both impressive coaches.
I know people with bomb shelters, Joel. I know people that have bomb shelters and food stockpiled and how they would live if, you know, if the government collapsed or the country lost electricity. And I'm out. That's my contingency plan if that happens. I'm out. You know, if the A-bomb's going to fall somewhere, fall right on top of my head.
Chael, you did an amazing job on Tough 17, so did John Jones.
I really did.
Both impressive coaches. It's hands down my favorite season that has ever been put out.
And the highest rated.
What was your favorite moment from Tough 17, and who surprised you the most?
Oh, the friendships was for sure the best part, man. That was very real. Everybody really had to come together. It's a very tough experience, and I don't agree with or know why they make it so tough on those guys. You know, sticking them in a house with no television, no contact to the outside world, no newspaper, no information whatsoever. We even spent two holidays in the house, and people couldn't call home to their families. I didn't understand that part of it. I thought, well, if they're going to go out and fight, and we're making this about a sporting event, just make it like a real sporting event. People at Olympic Village all have to live together and eat together and travel together, but they still do have some normalcies of life where they can go and get outside of their head for a little bit. So I thought it was strange. I still think it's strange. I know that the concept in the beginning was to create some major drama and get guys drunk and lashing out and breaking stuff and doing all sorts of craziness. And I get that that's good for TV, but you know that era has left. It is now focused on the fact that it's the toughest competition in all of sports, the toughest tournament out there. Focus on the competition, man. Let those guys be regular guys.
All right, this is a great question coming from Jacob Pixton, because I know you are a very structured eater. Now that Chael is back to being an active fighter, what is your daily diet and or meal plan look like?
Yeah, so I mean, for the most part, I eat when I'm hungry, and I strongly resist anybody's opinion on nutrition. I could punch holes in anybody's theory, any one of them. You could argue carrots are better than chips. I could say chips are better than carrots. Or I could go the other way and tell you why carrots are better. There's no proof to any of it, man. It's calories in versus calories out. You want to have 2,000 calories a day and you want to make that a Big Mac and a milkshake, then make it a Big Mac and a milkshake and you will lose weight. As long as that you consume less calories than you burn.
All right, it's March, which means it's time for the madness. And it's crunch time in the NBA. So you know we got it all covered on the Big Podcast with me, Shaq.
And we're way more than just sports, Shaquille. So be prepared to laugh, folks, as we bring you the best basketball coverage, the biggest names in hoops like Kevin Garnett, Chris Paul, Dick Vitale, Grant Hill, Chris Webber, and many, many more.
The Big Podcast with Shaq. Check us out with new episodes every Monday at PodcastOne.com.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Jail Sonnen.
Aaron Gaddis wants to know, who is the baddest man on the planet right now? Who would you push all your chips in behind?
Well, the baddest, like who could beat up anybody else? Is that where, I think that's what that question means.
The baddest man on the planet, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think that means pound for pound. I think that means what guy could beat up any other guy. And I believe it's John Jones. I think he'd slide right up to heavyweight and clean house. And, you know, he's proven it down in the light heavyweight division. I say John Jones is the baddest dude out there.
I'm going to say Stipe, even though nobody asked me. Rafael Toro wants to know, ask Chael if there's any hope on earth we can see Neil Melanson versus Josh Barnett in an SUG cage.
Yeah, so those guys, there was a very limited talk, but the talk did exist that they were going to compete at a Metamoris. And then Metamoris went under, so I think that you know, competing at SUG might be the place for them to go. I would love to see that. I'm with you completely. Two of the best grapplers that I've ever come across, both catch wrestlers, as we talked about earlier with somebody else's question. I'd like to see that match too.
Andy Coots wants to know another Hendo story. Do you have another Hendo story? Your story about Hendo not knowing you had a fight or who was the champ? Had him in stitches. So
with the great advice he gave me, yeah, I could get you a Hendo story. I mean, we'll have to circle back to that. I can't pull one off the top of my head.
Okay. Also, will Vanderlei sign the paper?
I can tell you that. I think so. I think if Vanderlei got offered that fight, you know, I'm sitting around waiting for that and even expecting it, in my opinion. However, I'm not positive that he's under contract yet because, you know, if you'll remember, he got suspended before I did. And somehow it turned into a lifetime ban.
And then they backed it up to 2 years.
No, they backed, but maybe. I thought they did. Is that what they did? I thought they backed up to 5, and then they went in a third time and backed it up to something else that was never disclosed to me. Like they made a backroom deal, and it was never disclosed. I've never known the date when he is free to get a license. And I don't believe it's today. I don't think he and I could go fight today. But I think it's coming. Like summer of this year is what I was told by somebody, but I don't know what summer means.
I thought Coker was angling for that around Christmas time. I remember calling you, and Coker, this was before the Tito fight was announced, and Coker said, yeah, you know, I think they'll fight in the summer of next year. And I remember calling you and saying, hey, is this going to be your first fight? And you were like, no, I'm going to fight Tito here in a minute. You know, they just haven't announced it yet. So I would like to know, too. Chael, what is your favorite thing to do with your boy, Theroux?
Oh, wow. Well, I like wrestling with him. I like playing with him. When he communicates, I get a kick out of it in any fashion. And he's not a great speaker yet, but he communicates the other way, sometimes with a yell. I get a kick out of that. I tell you, most parents would agree that the greatest thing is to watch him sleep. When they're peaceful and they've got like a little smile and like he gets in this weird position, gets on his knees and puts all the weight right on his face, and there's something very cute about it.
That'll never go away. I'm glad you say that. I've always watched Lad sleep. And even now that he's, you know, a monster, when he's sleeping, I'll go watch him. So that's a good answer and it'll never go away. Hey, can you guys get Tommy Toehold on the show? That's a great question. I want Tommy Toehold to do a bit on us.
Yeah, and what you probably don't know because you're on the show is that Tommy's been on the show, and he came on as his real self of Jordan out of character and kind of told us how he got started with the Tommy Toe. You know, he was a school teacher in Indiana, got started with a Tommy Toe hold. One of the greatest talents the history of MMA has ever seen. Are you ready for that? One of the greatest characters. Somebody asked earlier who's the greatest trash talker. I said Rampage. It's Tommy Toehold. He is the greatest. He does all of that himself.
He does all those voices himself.
And makes the animation, writes a script, produces, edits, puts it out. He is a one-man band. He never, ever fails. He delivers every time. He's hilarious, and he should have a bigger spot in the sport. And they tried to give him one. They tried to give him one at Fox. In fact, they did give him one. They hired him. He had a contract. He was putting stuff out on UFC Tonight. And something happened in the legal department where, because he was mimicking images and voices without written consent from those people, they were worried it could open up to a lawsuit, which it would not have. But when you're at a company like that, you have to worry about those things. And they had to scrap the segment. And that was too bad, because that is a major talent right there.
That was from that question was from Brian Bixby. He's one of the guys we'll see in Kankakee. Next one. This is a good one. I don't know the answer to this. James Campaign wants to know, which UFC fighter was your closest friend outside?
You don't know the answer to it. Well, there's some shocking news. Wow. You could have been there when it happened. And come in and report it different.
Which UFC fighter was your closest friend outside of Team Quest?
You know, the guy I trusted the most was Jake Shields. I think that's still the answer. Really great guy. We crossed paths a lot. We had a lot in common. People got us mistaken a lot. Apparently, we look similar. Jake Shields.
You guys do look similar. Frank Sarmiento wants to know, if you look at Chael's record, his 12th win was by flying knee against someone named Justin Bailey. I have searched everywhere on the internet and cannot find that video. Can Chael describe what happened? Did he fire off a Yoel Romero homing missile type of knee or something else?
Yeah, so Justin Bailey and I fought in the first round of a tournament, and on the other side of the bracket was Tim McKenzie and Emmanuel Newton, and McKenzie beat him in a war. So I won that match with a flying knee, and McKenzie couldn't continue, so I won the tournament by forfeit in the finals. But yeah, the flying knee, I don't know if I specifically remember it, but yeah, I jumped up and kneed the guy. It wasn't rocket science.
All right, Jacob Salazar wants to know, on the few shows that have ended with Chael and the Godfather having some serious heat, what happens after the show off of the air?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, sometimes we have to debrief. I can remember particularly early on where you thought you were being treated like a barbarian and, you know, having to explain to you that, yeah, man, that's the character of the show. You know, you do some stuff that is a little outside of ordinary. And that is what your charm is, and that you know, if you're going to be on, you got to come and show that to the audience. You can't pretend you're up here in a three-piece suit and something different. I remember having those talks, and they were tough because it sounded like an insult. It's like, no, this is meant as a compliment. You've found a home. You know, let me get into something else. Joel, did you see the California State Athletic Commission, as of today, doubled the fine for missing weight?
They doubled the fine, or they put it on the win bonus?
No, they doubled the fine that they will take from the athlete that missed weight. By example, it used to be 20%, now it's 40%.
Okay, so it's I didn't get a chance to read that. So, well, I looked at it briefly, and I thought the win bonus was in there somewhere, and then I was like, well, what if the guy doesn't win? So it is 40%. Whether he wins or not.
Oh, you know what? I don't know about that. So they bring the win bonus in then, too. That could be. I also didn't read the article. I just saw the headline that they had doubled it. And so the way the rule used to work is it was 20% of your show, so that would make it 40. It would make sense if it went to the win bonus. You know, it's such a step in the right direction. And Andy Foster is such a forward-thinking executive director. Such a step in the right direction. It is troubling on every level that a guy who breaks the rule, and that's the very first rule, contractual legal agreement to make weight, And there really is no kind of a punishment. That guy moves up the rankings. The other guy doesn't. He loses his spot. If it's a main event, that the guy that lost isn't going to be a main event next time. He's going to lose a lot, and he's starting out of the gate with a guy who broke his word and had an advantage. And, you know, the show must go on. To say you just scrap the fight isn't fair to anybody. It's not fair to the fans that bought tickets. It's not fair to the promoter. It's not fair to the fighter who did make weight and still wants to have a contest. It's not fair in realistic world, but just figuratively speaking, the fight should not happen. If one guy doesn't make weight that he agreed contractually to make, the fight just shouldn't happen. There was a rule one time, and Dana White had told us this. We were all at a UFC fighter summit, and there was all sorts of fouls going on at that time. And Dana had said, I do not expect you, if you are fouled, and it's an illegal move, and the referee takes a point away, I do not expect you to continue if you can't continue. I don't care how much the crowd boos. And then he even gave a stat, which he said, there has only been one guy in history to be fouled and come back and win. So if the other guy cheats and the referee breaks it and takes a point and does all of those things, just because the crowd's booing, I don't expect you to go on. I expect you to leave their healthy. And it was really surprising. Everybody was like, wow, usually the promoter is the first guy that wants it to go. And he brought that point up. And so I started paying attention after he said that. And since the time he said that, I've only seen one other guy that was ever fouled come back and win a contest. And using that logic in mind, though, right out of the gate, if a guy doesn't make weight, that's a foul.
You had mentioned this on the last ESPN, that the missing weight thing is a UFC epidemic, that it's not necessarily a sport epidemic.
MMA.
So the two things that I question is the FCFF. They've been doing fights down there, amateur show. You and Kevin Keeney have been running for 16 years. How often does a guy miss weight in that show?
Well, it certainly happens. I couldn't make believe that it doesn't happen, but the fight very oftentimes gets scratched. If they don't make weight, the fight gets pulled. Now, you're talking about an amateur show where us as the promoters aren't influenced. We haven't put millions of dollars in and promised people something and got commercials and billboards all over the place. So it is a little bit of a different dynamic, but...
But again, it doesn't happen that often.
It doesn't happen that often. And, you know, the reason I say that it's, you know, the UFC's is plagued with this or MMA even, is because you just don't see it in boxing. You know, it's the same thing with the injuries. You know, guys will talk about MMA sparring too hard. They've got to spar less hard. It's like, man, go in a boxing gym sometimes. Those guys fight. Those guys bring in training partners and beat them up. Freddie Roach had a $500 bonus for anybody that could knock Manny Pacquiao down. I mean, those guys were coming out there fighting. And you don't ever see boxers pull out because they're hurt. You don't ever see a boxing fight scrapped, ever, because one guy's hurt. Or, you know, guys have missed weight in boxing. I can even think of it. I can never think of a time a guy pulled out for injury. I'm sure it's happened, but I can't think of a time. I can think of times where guys have missed weight, but boy, they're rare. In fact, right now, I can think of two times ever, and I've been following boxing my whole life. It doesn't happen, you know. And I don't think that MMA is cursed with injuries, man. I think it's plagued with wimps. You either show up or you don't. And as soon as a guy says, I can't do it, I'm hurt, he has to lose his ranking. He is admitting, I am not one of the toughest guys. In fact, I'm not even tough enough to walk out there. Well, then we got to pull you out of the rankings. We have to take you at your word.
Gilbert had mentioned that he thought that it might be happening because of the early weigh-ins. Now, the one thing I want to ask you about that is, from what I understand, when you hit the mark in the morning at the UFC, you've got one chance to get on that and get it right. There's not, if you miss, you have 2.5 hours.
I don't know how that works. So I've only been subject to that one time. And again, it's not just UFC. It's the unified rules. I did it one time in my one fight in Bellator, and so I couldn't tell you. But, you know, I really like the fact that we got a weigh-in at 9 a.m. It was really quick. In fact, I was the first one on the scale because I was the first one there. They didn't go in order. It wasn't a show and a process and all of that. I was the very first guy to get on the scale, and then you're done. You come back for the show at 4 o'clock, and then they do go in order, and it's longer. But now you're not dehydrated or hungry or whatever the situation might be. So And yet, you know, Gilbert does make a good point. You know, those guys will all make weight if there's enough time. You know, all of our listeners right now, if they've got a goal and they're on some kind of a diet, they'll all make weight if they have enough time. Time is the dirtiest word. The dirty little secret in dieting is time.
Well, the guys, we come from a wrestling background. The NCAA championships are going on right now. If we miss weight at a wrestling...
I bet Anderson would have entered if he was offered.
If we miss weight the first time on the scale at a wrestling event, there's usually an hour to 2 hours before that scale closes. People are missing weight. They're not on the mark all the time when those scales open. But then there's 2 hours. For instance, tonight, they'll have to come back and re-weigh in, or do they make weight tomorrow morning at the NCAAs?
They make weight in the morning,
okay.
Each morning.
But again, then there's another hour. If you're not on the mark at, say, 10 a.m., the weight, it'll be open for another hour. So you have another hour to lose, you know, the 2 or 3 pounds. So it'd be interesting to me to know if I am correct. At the UFC weigh-ins and Bellator weigh-ins in the mornings, is there any time after the weigh-in to make weight?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. We'd have to look into it. The way the most scales work, let's say they're open from 9 to 11, you have from 9 to 11. Some rule did come into MMA where you have from 9 to 11, let's say, for a time parameter, for this example, you have from 9 to 11 or 3 attempts. On your third attempt, if you don't make it, you're scratched, which I've never agreed with. 9 to 11 means 9 to 11. A guy can check his weight 100 times if he wants to. It doesn't seem to me to make any sense of why he would be limited on the times he could get on a scale. The only way to know if you've lost the weight is to get on the scale. So I don't know where that came from or that I agree with that, but... look, 9 to 11 means 9 to 11. So in my opinion, if you were to be the first one on and miss at 9, you have the right to come back at 9:50 or 10:59 and 59 seconds for that matter.
I agree with you. I think if a guy misses weight, that bout should be scrapped. I've always because the mindset of the other guy, the guy that has made the weight, now he's pissed that the other guy hasn't made weight, but then he's still allowed to compete. That's a tough mental approach to go into.
Well, it's not just that he's...
You know, I call it
it's
having
not just
a
that
chip
he's,
on your shoulder.
You know, forced or allowed to compete. It is that he's forced. You know, if a guy doesn't make weight, the opponent does have the right to decline the fight. But that's not going to be a good look with the promotion because, again, you know, you're producing a show. You need X amount of time. You've got that time slot scheduled with that fight. And you know, so you do need to be fair to everybody, including the promoter, including whoever the event organizer is. You need to move commerce forward. You know, that is the job of the commission. They also have an obligation to commerce. They come out every time they open their mouth. They say safety of the fighter. Stop with all that. We've got your marketing, your job secured. The taxpayers are going to continue to fund you. Your only job is not fighter safety. In fact, it's not even your first job. Your first job is commerce. You are a government entity. But all they will ever say is fighter safety is our number one thing. Stop with all that.
Here, I got a question that nobody asked today that I just thought of. Remember, for years at the UFC at the pay per views, there would be a swing match, and they would use that match to if they had time left on the pay per view card, and they would even run that they could run that match after the final. After the main event, or if it looked like they had some time between the main event and say the co-main event, or say there was a couple stoppages, they would put it in there. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And when did they end that?
It was usually Anderson would be in the back because he'd fight anybody. You could just run him out if you had a time slot. But what they do now, Joel, is they'll have the undercard, and if they do have that open window, they'll just play an undercard in there. And I haven't seen the UFC specifically do that in a very long time, particularly after you know they started showing their undercards on FS1. Then they weren't going to make somebody rewatch something they've already seen. So I do remember that swing bout gimmick, and I do remember like the main event would be done, and it was almost an encore fight. And I always felt bad. I loved it as a fan because the last thing you want to do at a big MMA event is get up and go home. You know, you don't want to go through that hangover where you've got all that excitement, energy, and boom, it's over. I got to walk out to the parking lot. It's the worst feeling coming off that high of some of those live events. But So I liked it as a fan that the action continued, but I did feel bad for the athletes that had to walk out. Sometimes it's midnight. You know, sometimes it's 1 in the morning if you're fighting in the East Coast, and you're just leaving the locker room, and you've been there since 3 in the afternoon because you never knew when you were going to go on. That swing bout never knew when he was going to get called up. So you're staying warm, you're staying in the back, you're watching the monitor, you're wondering when you're going, and all of a sudden it's 1 in the morning, and boom, it's my turn, and everybody's leaving and walking out, and I got to walk out there anyway. I've never had to do it, but I saw the guys that did it, and I felt bad for them and had a different respect because I know that's a hard thing to do.
Matt Jemp wants to know, what is your all-time favorite movie?
That's it? I asked because the tone in your voice made it sound as though there was a part two. Just what is my favorite movie? Young Guns. Young Guns Part 1.
And who is your favorite actor or actress of all time?
Oh, boy. You know, Mark Wahlberg is not the world's greatest actor. However, he is one of the most reliable actors in terms of that movie's going to be great if he's in it. The most reliable is Denzel Washington, and the best actor in terms of actual thespian ability is Ed Norton. And whenever there's a debate, I mean, I'll hear people say Daniel Day-Lewis, and it's like, man, just shut up with all that. It's not even a debate. The best actor in Hollywood is Ed Norton. You know what I do find interesting on a serious note? And I will bring this back to myself, but Joel, I told you yesterday that my time in a freestyle in a pool would be record-setting. And I don't know how far those records would go. I know I'd have every high school state championship. I mean, there's not like some high school kid could beat me. But I think it would go to NCAA records, and I think it would compete with Olympic time. And I told you, because you told me that was a ridiculous statement, which I can understand how you would think that, other than the fact that I said, well, let's just go to a pool. I'll just prove it. It'll take me 16 seconds or less. You can film the whole thing and put it out. And you did chastise me a little bit. One of our fans had asked earlier, you know, what happens between you and I when we get hot on this show and then we go off air? Like, you know, do we just smile and everything's left behind us, or then do we have to drag it on? And sometimes it's each, but this was one of those things that you did drag on. And I said, take me to a pool. You have a membership at what's it called, the Tualatin Valley Club or something?
Stafford Hills.
That's on our way home. We pass it. All you have to do is take the exit. I jump in the pool. I'll do it in my briefs. I don't even need short. It's 16 seconds or less.
See, the bit, whether it is make-believe in your head or the fact that you may actually believe it, to me, it's much better not knowing the answer. I know the answer. I know you can't swim faster than a high school sophomore who's on the team. I know the answer.
So here's what you don't know. Here's because you said that specifically. I was talking this same trash when I was in high school, and swimming was the same time as wrestling season. And I would have joined the swim team if I could just show up for the district meet and the state meet. I would swim twice a year because I couldn't go to practices or any of the other events because I was wrestling, but I was willing to win the championship for the school. So the coach had an opinion much like yours. And so I came in one day just to show him. And I did exactly what I'm telling you. One lap down, I broke all the records, put my clothes on, drove back to my high school. My high school didn't have a pool. We had to go train at Oregon City. And that's where our swim team had to train. Drove back to school, changed my clothes, and went to wrestling practice. So you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong about, I mean, a high school. So come on, I'm telling you, NCAA at the minimum. And then we'd have to compare times against Olympic guys.
Okay.
What? Just down. I'm not making some. I'm a great technique swimmer. Just down, which I'm calling freestyle.
Okay, it is freestyle.
I mean, any way I want to get there. That's my definition of freestyle.
I agree with you.
Crawl, now, stroke, are you underwater.
Diving? Are you diving?
Because I don't want
in?
Him to say like you have to come up within 20 yards. I don't know if that's a rule or if some of those guys just can't hold their breath. I notice where they all come up. They all come up at the same line. I don't know if that's a rule in swimming where you must be above the water a certain time. When I say freestyle, just to clarify, I don't want some swimming aficionado to watch this video and then go, well, you know, he didn't follow this. I don't know the rules. I'm telling you, I will jump in the water and I will get to the other end of the water faster than anybody else. And then you compare the times. We'll bring up NCAA and we'll see where it fits
okay,
in.
Okay, an Olympic pool is 50 meters. Now, there's only a couple of 50-meter pool around. Generally, it's 25 meters. So are you the world champion in 25 meters or 50 meters?
I'm talking about 50 meters because I know where one is. It's in Lake Oswego. It's a pool that I used to swim in. But to your point, that is true where sometimes you have to turn. And then that comes down to technique, which I possess. And I'm not trying to make this big thing of it. There's plenty of sports I suck at, wouldn't even try. I get right. But in this one, I do have the ability to also do the turn off the wall, which is one of my strong points because then I go under the water. It's like a bullet, and I'm just telling you, if you ever want to see it, I'll show you it. But I do find it weird that I made this claim. You told me it was ridiculous. We passed a pool to which you have a membership at. You were driving, and we didn't pull. The whole time that we were driving home yesterday after the show, I thought that we would take that exit and you would call me. I was in the right frame of mind mentally. Well, you can laugh if you want, or you can just put me in the pool and push the button.
I don't know why anybody's not challenging him. I know why I'm not challenging you, because I think, again, I've known you for quite some time. I know you are hot today because I got you all twisted about this Anderson thing.
But I just don't know why you would say something that isn't factually correct.
He's going to be mad at me, too, for like 3 weeks or a month.
It's because each day when we come in, man, you have something that isn't right. Or you get a guy's name wrong. You know, you'll read off, yeah, the fight's over the weekend. It was this really great fight. And then you can't even spit the guy's name out. It's like, Joel, there has to be some level of preparedness, but there also has to be when you're there, when you're behind the curtain. You got to know what you're talking about. I mean, I got you to say, recorded earlier today, that Anderson had never ducked a fight. I got you to say 60 seconds later to all of the people, well, yeah, he did that one, but not the other one. It's like, no, wait a second. You just said it didn't happen.
You do make a fair point. You do make a fair point on this. You kind of got me on that one. But the reality is, you're hot because I ruffled your feathers. Now you are going to be hot today, tomorrow, week later. You're going to do some slimy stuff to me, and then you're going to reference this, and then it'll eventually filter off. Now, whereas when I take my beatings, they end at the bottom of the floor. You know, that's just the way that goes. So, yeah, I mean we're both right. Anderson did run from you. That is true. In his older years, he has been taking these fights. I don't think either one of us thought that he would take the Gastelum fight.
I thought he would take the fight. I didn't think the fight would be offered to, or I wasn't sure if the fight would be offered to him. But no, I didn't think he was gonna publicly deny a fight against a guy that had just called him out. I just thought it was interesting when that debate happened. You bring it up to me in the car, and then you come on and say it in here, and you're gloating. I mean, you wanted to beam over his courage and his willingness that you should know isn't true because you were there for it, but somehow you didn't. And then when I brought it up, like a scumbag, you go, oh, he beat you twice. It's like, man, I'm not contesting that he beat me. The debate here was his willingness that this all go out. I mean, it's been made public that he couldn't get the
scumbag.
Jones fight done.
Like a scumbag. The one time you get ruffled up in here, you've got to call me a scumbag. Now, I'm fair game. And for most of the time, I was fair game for a nickel. And now I'm fair game for a dime.
What's that expression
mean?
You
know, it doesn't have to mean anything.
Well, I need to know what the nickel means.
It doesn't have to mean anything. My point is that...
Why did you say nickel?
It's a reference to... You run me over all the time, brother. I take it. Yeah, is this part of the gimmick or whatever the hell we're doing in here? Now you want to be real with this thing because you're pissed off. And you want to be real with this thing because you call me a scumbag. Now I'm a scumbag up in here when I got your back every pill, every way there is to get your back. And you want to call me a scumbag because you keep running this thing back and running this thing back. I mean, goddamn, son.
Why'd you say nickel? What did nickel mean in relation to the dime?
I don't know. It was just a point that it could be a nickel or a dime. You're the one running me over all the time. And a lot of times it is funny, but a lot of times it's not. You know? A lot of times I go home and I'm like, you know what? He didn't have to do that. I mean, we go on a trip together. We have a good time together. There's all sorts of things you could talk about other than humiliating me. Which you think that's fun, and somehow you've convinced me that, hey, it's a part of the show and that people loved it. Man, I don't know about that. But I do know, because you're pissed off, about a comment that I made about Anderson, you're going to have a field day with it. So go ahead, son, have a field day with it.
I just want to know why you said nickel, because I want to get the reference. Is that an expression for something that I don't know?
No, it's something I just said. It just fell out of my face.
Do you think that possibly there's an argument there then to what I'm saying? That if you're going to come on, the barbarian, it's fair that that's what needs to come out. Because the only other way to go with it, are you a sophisticated? I mean, you come on all the time. You say fighter's name wrong. You get these little details wrong. You said the Anderson thing wrong. I got you to run it back 5 seconds later. So what do you propose? If we don't go with the barbarian side of Joel, what side do we go with?
I don't really fucking care. Go with any fucking side you want.
Are you going to tell me what nickel means? And I am now sitting in here alone. He not only has stormed out, threw the headphones down, which I will probably be paying for now, and he left the door open. The one thing about he always leaves the door open. He always leaves the door open. We're at a radio station. I don't know how many shows come out of here, but I think if I said 50, that would probably be a very fair guess, including one of the nation's largest shows, which is Lars Larson, who is straight outside this door recording right now. I can see him through his window because the door's open. Oh, and now his producer's looking at me, wondering, somebody needs to shut the door. I can't get up and shut the door. The microphone doesn't extend. All right, thank you. The door has been shut by one of Lars's guys. All right, well, what do we do now that the barbarian is gone? And, you know, he's not totally off base. I am a bit of a dick to him, without question. But I really don't know what to do. He's not an analyst. So we come on, the show is largely MMA. Now, we go all over the board, but it's largely MMA. We have an MMA audience that we are servicing. So we'll do 80% of whatever is going on in the world of the free format fighting systems, whatever is happening in today's no holds barred. And then we get a little bit off topic. But if I've got a barbarian in here with me, I'm not wrong to want that side of him to come out. So he gets, we go on a trip and you come back and you humiliate me. It's like, man, what do we want me to do? You projectile vomited all over the place. They had to bring in a hazmat team. They billed us $500 and now we're doing a show telling people about our trip. What am I supposed to leave that off and talk about the pancakes we had the next day at breakfast? I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. If you got a maniac and you find the fact that that's the most interesting part about him, I think you got to bring him on and have him be a maniac. And I will let you all know, in addition, that I really could swim that fast. And I'm willing to prove it. And I don't even know that it's all that great of a skill. I don't know where in life I would ever need to jump in the water and swim at a fast pace. But I could. And I could also teach that crummy baseball player.
So the only spot I have in your head on this show is to be a barbarian. I don't. I'm not. What did you say? I can't be an analyst in this sport that grew out of the back of my car dealership, and I've watched more fights and been in this sport longer than half of the nuts on the microphone. I can't be an analyst. Okay, so all I can do up here is act like a lunatic, even though I call them all the time and I'm right more times than you are.
It's helpful. It's helpful when you're a lunatic. Yes, I find it more entertaining. Find it more organic and authentic. I don't know why we would pretend.
Yeah, it's we keep going back to the same thing. You think, you know, it's funny. If I could dance, I'd been making 250, 500 grand a year dancing for those mullets at the car lot, but I can't because they're all scumbags. All of them, just like the scumbags in Kankakee, Illinois that I went and met with that we're going to do the Kankakee show, and just like scumbags that they are, they said one thing and did another. So I'm going to come up here so I can get a little bit of microphone time and be on your show with 500,000 people and act like a maniac because you think that's all I can do, but you'll give anybody an opportunity to do anything in the world but your bro that backs you through thick and thin? That's it? Well, Daddy, I'm not that guy, okay? I'm not that guy.
What did Nickel mean earlier?
So if this is the end of the dog and pony show we've been running up here for 6 months, man, I'm good with that. You know, but you got to come off this the only thing this guy can do is act like a lunatic. Man, I'm real. And the people have connected to me with this show because I am real. But goddamn, you want to act like I don't know more about this sport than Ariel effing Helwani, the guy that does the Jerry Springer of MMA? You want to act like I can't pick a fight in front of him? Luke Thomas? He just grabbed a microphone and started talking too, Daddy. Okay? I sound the way I walk. I sound the way I talk. I walk the way I walk. That's who I am. But don't act like that I don't know this sport, because that's irritating. That is goddamn irritating. I gave so many people an opportunity to run in this sport and back them and everything, and for you to sit up here and come up here and throw darts at your buddy, that's bullshit, man. And it ain't right. And if it ends today, it ends today. I don't fucking care. Now, that's real shit, and that's a shoot. So whatever he does after this, I don't fucking care. Except we got to go do that Ken Key show.
Did you compare your abilities a moment ago to that of Ariel Helwani?
Do I know as much about this sport as Ariel? Absolutely, 100%. 100%.
Didn't you make a statement at the opening of this show that we then proved to be factually inaccurate? Didn't you get names of fighters wrong left and right that we have to correct? Now, you and I are saying the same thing, even though you're shouting about it, that people have connected to you because you are real. But to act as though I didn't help to bring that realness out by telling your real stories and getting you to open up about your life that is different than the norm, that's what the connection is. That's proving my point that the barbaric crazy Joel that you say I'm throwing stones at, they're interesting stories. In many ways, you're living a life that a lot of other people want to live. You're just confident enough to live a life of irresponsibility, but there's still something entertaining there. I feel like we're on the same page.
Nah, we ain't. We ain't even close.
Do you really think you're better at this than Ariel Helwani?
Yeah, 100%. That guy didn't do anything. What? Because I can't say everybody's name? That guy knows more about this sport than me? Hell no.
How are you defining all that guy about the sport?
All that guy knows what to do is stir the pot. Hey, you said this about this, and that guy said this about this. Man, these guys are going to fight anyway. Let them run.
Define knowing about the sport for me. Do you mean that you're able to look at two guys that are going to fight and then pick the winner? Or what do you mean about the sport?
Everything. What don't I know about the sport?
That's what I'm asking you. What do you mean when you say you know about the sport? Like, historically, I would say that your fact checker is way off. I would say that you continually rewrite history. Why is that on?
I don't even know.
Would you like me to turn it off for you?
Go on, man. I'm ready to button this thing up. I don't even fucking care anymore, to tell you the truth. I really fucking don't. This whole fucking thing about let's go do these.
Ariel Helwani would not do that.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, man. You got me spun. And again, I don't care. I don't care if I ever come back. Now you want to. We put the minutes in. You know, we put the minutes in. You let these fucking people. They can throw stones at me. They can do whatever they want. I'm a fucking monkey. I can go be a monkey on my own. You know, I don't need you to run that shit back over and over and over again like the fucking opportunity of a motherfucking lifetime is happened up in here. You know, that door came open
this much.
And I kicked it in.
So
if that thing shuts, and it shuts, man, I don't fucking care. I don't care. But for you to, then you want to debate this? Then you want to debate this? No, you actually know more about Ariel Helwani.
Well, because that was a big statement. It was a big statement that you would be better at this than Ariel Helwani.
Okay. Whatever.
I mean, isn't that a big statement, though?
I don't care. A big statement. I made it. But for you to say the only spot I have in here is to be a barbarian, that's an ignorant statement. That's an ignorant statement. For you to say I don't do any preparation, that's an ignorant statement. So
I didn't make
you're,
that statement.
You're the one. You're the
Wait,
one.
I didn't
you're
make
the
that
one
statement.
That controls all of this. All of this. So,
but I know, didn't make that statement.
Absolutely, you did.
I haven't used the word preparation today.
Yeah. Anyway, man, let's go. Let's go. So the answer to your question is, what happens when we leave this place hot? Well, you're going to find out today, because this is probably the only time I've been this hot.
So some news came out from the New York State Athletic Commission. There was a timekeeping. Can you see, though, where it would be irritating for me? That you walked out of a show one time after being factually incorrect. You left the door open. You interrupted Lars. You threw your headphones down. You then came back. You cut a promo, and now you're sitting in the corner playing on your phone, but the show's still going. Is there a part of you where you could sympathize with me as the guy who is responsible for producing X amount of content? And he does bring in a guy because the guy's a character that he does not want to be known as. He's already walked out of one show. He screamed at three segments of the party participated in, even though he was factually incorrect. And now he's in the corner playing on his phone. I mean, could you see where that would be irritating? And then you would compare yourself to a professional like Ariel. In fairness, if we're being real objective here.
Here, there's your rope. I ran with it. Run as far as you want with it, brother. Run as far as you want with it. My flag's up. The white flag's up. Run. Go have fun.
So there was a timekeeping error in New York, in a Triple G fight. And they fought for 4 minutes as opposed to three. Huge mistake. The executive director comes out and he says, timekeeping is an exact function. It takes complete focus and care. We owe it to the boxers and the entire boxing community to show that care and get it done right. Although we cannot undo the error of July 26th, we immediately investigated the matter and proceeded to hold accountable the timekeeper who allowed the first round of the Triple G bout to run for 4 minutes. We strive to maintain the integrity and fairness of the sport and ensure that such an error does not occur again. That is a perfect statement to me. That is a responsible and perfect statement made by Executive Director David Berlin in New York. And I feel that Triple G would accept that. His opponent would accept that. I can tell you, as a contestant, I accept that. You've got a government official who says this is unacceptable. We looked into it. We disciplined the people. And we're going to make sure it doesn't happen again. Cool. Joel, do you have anything you'd like to... Will you tell us what the nickel thing means? He's giving me the cutthroat sign from the corner, which is not very Ariel Helwani-ish of him. Might have something to work on there. Guys, go to ultimateweightcut.com. Do not put off your diet any longer. Do not put off getting healthy and getting fit any longer. Start today. Ultimateweightcut.com. It is online. Use the promo code BADGUY and you will save 40%. Start now. You don't have to wait for anything to be mailed to you. There's no wait period. Go and buy the Ultimate Weight Cut at ultimateweightcut.com. It will come to you right then on your computer. You can get started today. Until next time, for the Ariel-esque Joel Superna, I am Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Man, I'm so tired of that shit, bro. Every goddamn episode. We'll
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey, Duck Dynasty fans, we got a new podcast, The Jep and Jess Show, with me, Jeff Roberts.
And me, Jessica. We'll be talking about our many passions, including faith, family, and everyday life.
So check out new episodes of The Jep and Jess Show every Wednesday at podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe at iTunes.